Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show. Well, everybody, welcome back to What I Will Say. This is Cam and I'm here with Imps. What's going on, Imps?
Hey, happy to be back.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's a beautiful Friday afternoon. There's a nip of fall in the air. I've got a cozy sweatshirt on and I'm sitting on a heating pad. It's like actually cold at my house. I don't know. It's actually warmer outside than it is in here. But anyway, I'm happy to have fall rolling in. Are you excited for this October, Imps?
I am. I'm excited for the weather to cool off. And I'm also excited for midnights, obviously.
Oh yeah. Well, it's the 30th right now we're recording. Did you see that Nice Boy Ed posted to Instagram and said something about like the first of October, something's going to happen. But so that's midnight tonight.
Yes. Yep. I mean, you can't escape the new theories and info if you try. Not that I was trying to, but yes, of course I saw.
Someone in Discord pointed out that like British people would write it that way, like 1st of October, like 1st October, like Americans would say October 1st because we do the month first and then the day because we're stupid, but British people do it in the right order. It's something I don't know. I don't have any hot takes. I don't know. It feels, I have no idea what's going to happen tonight, but I'm excited. And guys, let me say, if you have ever thought about trying out the What I Will Say Patreon, October's the month to do it. It's October now. So if you join, you'll be charged and that's the whole month. And then you won't be charged again until November. So if you were ever going to try out the Patreon, and I'm just saying this, there's going to be so much content on there. I mean, I've said it once, I'll say it again. We have never had more fun than the week that Red came out, Taylor's version. And we did an episode almost every night. And it was just reactions and predictions and excitement and analysis and also fun and games and community interaction as well. The Discord is blowing up and popping off. That is a Patreon benefit. If you join, you have access to that. I kind of think it's worth it. I feel like try it for a month. That's all I'm going to say. Just try. If there was ever a month where you're like, well, yeah, I like the pod, but I'm not quite there. Or like, I'm waiting for like a sign or I'm waiting for like the right moment and I'll give it a try. $5 for 1 month. Give it a try. I think you'll like it. And I think we'll have a great time together if you do come through.
Hey guys, it's Cam jumping in during the edit. Just wanted to let you know that Patreon has given creators the opportunity to switch over to anniversary billing, meaning you will get a whole month of Patreon content whatever day you sign up. So today's the 3rd, October 3rd. You will not get charged again till November 3rd if you sign up today. So you do get a full 30 days of that first payment, and then you can decide if you want to carry on or not. But if there was ever a month to try it, I think it's now.
That said, Imps, we're talking Jelena again today. Let's do quick trigger warning. Talking Jelena, so we're talking drug use, depressing things, sad things, bad things that happen in Hollywood, bad things that happen to people. If you're some more sensitive, skip this episode. And that kind of goes for all our Jelena episodes. So we got that out of the way. Imps, I mean, you've got the timeline. Are we ready to jump in? Do we have any preamble? Is there anything we need to address first?
The only thing that's top of mind is, you know, the Hailey Bieber of it all, the Caller Daddy podcast, which I'm sure you plan on diving deeper into when you're ready. But I think I just need to comment on it. I personally haven't listened to the whole episode. I've watched clips, and I have seen everybody's commentary on it, you know, on various social media platforms. And I do know that Selena did a live, I believe. I don't know that she was super specific, but she was just kind of like, hey, we don't need to be hateful, like, please knock it off, or something to the effect of that. So I think it's important just to kind of like touch on that before we dive in.
I know it's not bad business for them, but I do think Haley's image just keeps suffering for a lot of reasons. And I do think we should do a Patreon episode about Haley. I know we'll talk about her involvement in some of this, like probably particularly the next episode. Do we have any Haley on this episode?
She makes a cameo towards the end, very end of like 2014.
I think we'll get more of her on the next episode, but I also feel like she has her own scandals, her own controversies, her own brand that might be fun to discuss on the Patreon. I don't know. Maybe this is too off topic. I have a lot to say about Hailey Bieber, but here's what I will say right now. I don't envy her position. And it's a position she deserves to be in, but it's not a good one. And that's what I'll say about it right now, because we are sitting at end of 2013, early 2014 in the timeline right now. And I have some Hailey Bieber hot takes, but I'm going to save them.
So I
think everybody go listen into the Call Her Daddy Hailey Bieber episode. If you're like following along with the series, we will comment on it at some point, whether on the main pod or the Patreon. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So just that's it. I just wanted to mention that and acknowledge it, because I mean, honestly, for this series that you're putting out that I'm helping with, like, it couldn't have been better timing for us. So to kick it off, we left off with 2013-ish. And you know, this is where Justin and Selena are getting a little older. They've already broken up and seemingly made up around April of 2013. Justin posted a photo of him and Selena on his Instagram.
Now, they broke up in November 2012 officially, correct?
Yes.
Shortly after that, we got them hanging out again, then breaking up again. It's been a mess. So this is really only a matter of months, about 4 or 5 months since the breakup, maybe 6, that Justin is posting photos of her, correct?
Yes. Yep. And then in July of 2013, I think that it's got to be a different picture, because I have in my notes, April, there was a picture posted, and then in July, it was another one, and he captioned it hashtag heartbreaker, which is the song that you talked about in the last episode of Justin's. And then by December 2013, they're not on speaking terms at all. And it was a few days before Christmas that Justin confirmed he and Selena are not on speaking terms at this time, but he said he still very much loves her.
So throughout 2014, there's some pictures posted, there's something, and then boom, again, not on speaking terms at the end of the year of 2013.
Correct.
Gosh.
Very, very rocky. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's part the age that they were and part all the other stuff we've talked about. It's just I just remember my own friends, the couples that would break up and get back together for years and years and years. And it all just got so boring after a while. And they're kind of 2014 is the year where things really just go off the rails, like for them together and separately. So December 2013, days before Christmas, Justin's like, we're not talking. January 2014. So this is just a few weeks later.
Couple weeks.
They were spotted riding Segways in LA. It's a pretty famous picture. If you just Google Justin Selena Segways and it'll come up. They're back hanging out. And what do you know? The paparazzi just spots them. So in that same month, Justin posts another photo of him and Selena and captioned it, "Love the way you look at me." And so everyone's like, oh, they're back together. But just as quickly as it was looking good, it goes downhill. Justin was arrested in Miami, Florida, for suspicion of a DUI, driving under the influence, for drag racing a rented yellow Lamborghini in a residential neighborhood. So the Miami Beach Police Department was on him, you know, and he's acting totally disrespectful and just lashing out at the police. I'm pretty sure you can Google videos of it. So there's definitely photos at the very least. And sitting in the passenger seat of this yellow Lamborghini is Justin's new rumored girlfriend, Chantel Jeffries.
So, I mean, this is about what, 3 weeks? Because the January 3rd is when they were on the Segways, and then January 23rd. So just less than 3 weeks later, he's got a new girl and he's getting arrested for drinking and driving, or suspicion of that.
Yeah, he was really pulled over, or I don't know, someone in that neighborhood. I'm guessing it was like a really wealthy gated community in Miami. And some of the neighbors probably called the police because he was drag racing in the neighborhood in a residential area. So when they arrived on the scene, he appeared to be under the influence. So in January 2014, it was also the year that Justin was charged with vandalism when he egged his neighbor's house. Do you remember that?
No, I mean, I remember there was a time period where Justin was like constantly in trouble. And I was kind of done with him at that point. I mean, not that I was ever a huge fan, but like, I was like, oh, what a twat. Like,
yeah, he's very much in his bad boy era, in 2014. And so my notes say accused, but I think that he was charged, because there's a whole deposition, and you can Google that as well. He is just being like, oh my gosh, just Selena so disrespectful. Yeah, just so disrespectful, and just like can't be bothered to be there. And anyway, so yeah, he egged his neighbor's house, and
he ended up paying him $80,000.
Yes, and what people need to understand is, things are very expensive, and as because I'm kind of there, and I'm approaching that where like, don't step on my lawn type of thing. Mm-hmm. And like, the older you get, we start to realize like, older people aren't like nasty and crazy. They've just literally spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for their house, for their cars, for the Japanese maple in their front yard, for the grass. Like, it's all very expensive. So especially in these gated communities where these ultra wealthy people live, the neighbor's house was some sort of either stucco or plaster or something that was like very, you know, expensive and elite. And that's why it ended up costing that much money to fix it. It's not like, oh, we'll just clean it off. It's like, no, this won't come off. You have to replaster the whole front of the house. So yeah, just acting up. This was also when Justin had a pet monkey and he lost custody of the monkey. He couldn't keep it. And I vaguely remember that story, but people were very upset about the monkey and how he had it. And then he like, I want to say the story goes that he like gave it to somebody else. I don't know. Somebody can come in and correct me who fully remembers the story, but I vaguely remember that. It was just one thing after another.
Well, if Tiger King taught us anything, it's that people do not need exotic pets.
However large or small. So also in 2014, if you want to go with me to like the blind item side of Justin's life, blind items are very much saying he's getting into heavier drugs. He's really starting to figure out what his parents have been up to. And what I mean by that is the rumors about how his parents were basically asked to sign a contract to not parent him and let the record label handle everything. So basically they just kind of signed him over to the record label, and were also being paid allegedly to not step in and be like, no, you're not going to drag race a yellow Lamborghini. no, like, you're not going to egg anybody's house. Like, they, I don't know where they were, but if you believe the rumors, they were being paid to like not step in and stop anything. And so he's starting to kind of put that together because, again, he's getting older, wiser. And he's like, wait a minute, nobody cares about me. Nobody has my best interests at heart. I am a machine to these people. So I think, and I think we've seen this with Justin quite a few times since 2014, where he really leans in hard to whatever the thing is. So if this moment is like, oh, nobody cares about me, I'm able to do whatever I want, well, let's like really take it to the extreme. So he's using heavier drugs, according to Blind Items. He's surrounding himself with not great people. He's suspected or seen a lot drinking lean or like purple drink. Like, if people don't know what that is, it's basically codeine, mm-hmm. cough syrup mixed with like Sprite or and like Skittles or Jolly Rancher or something to make it taste good. And it's basically what like Lil Wayne was drinking all the time throughout his career. Mm-hmm. During this time, I think it was when, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it was when Justin was drag racing the yellow Lamborghini, potentially, or maybe it was when he egged his neighbor's house, but whatever happened, whatever the case, police were called and they found cocaine, like, with him, on him, in his house. I'm thinking maybe it was the house, because if it had been in the car, he wouldn't have really been able to wiggle his way out of it unless these other people in there. Anyway, and one of his friends, Lil Zaw, took the fall, mm-hmm. for the cocaine, for the drugs. And if you believe the Blind Items, and I want to say Lil Zaw has maybe spoken about this a little bit in the more recent years, that he was basically like asked to take, like, you take the blame for this. Like, I can only imagine like Scooter being like, no, this is you take the blame for this. Justin can't be caught with this. It can't be, you know, we can't have this on his image. We'll pay for your lawyers. We'll get you out of jail. Like, but you're basically like, you're nobody. Mm-hmm. He's Justin Bieber. So mm-hmm. you're going to take the fall for this.
That sounds about right. And yeah. I think the rumors about the drugs, they must be true. They must be true, because
I mean, believe they're true,
you know, and you have this Lil Zaw, you know, actually having the cocaine, or this allegedly, actually, like, there is cocaine on the site, and you've got Blind Items about Justin getting into harder drugs. I'm certain they're true, honestly, like allegedly, but I believe them.
I believe them too. And I know a lot of people don't want to believe those things about their favorite mm-hmm. people, whether it's a celebrity or someone you know in real life. But that doesn't make it any less true. I believe it. This was also when the police seized one of Justin's cell phones. And allegedly, there were all kinds of crazy photos on this phone of like, pick any, at the time, any 2014 Disney star, Nickelodeon star, boy bander, like all these kids like partying, wiling out. There's allegedly a picture of two boy band members kissing in a photo. And I have in my notes, I have Larry,
can't have been Larry. I was thinking the Jonas Brothers. I'm not with each other, but like, God, what if it was Larry?
Idea that there's never been any Blind Items about like, oh, and in the picture, it was these two people. It's just that
the picture existed, according just to
that allegedly there is a photo of, and the way that it's worded, it says two boy banders kissing. Mm-hmm. So I immediately go to like One Direction.
Sure.
The Jonas Brothers are brothers, so I would hope. I hope not.
I just think Nick is bi, but
so it literally could have been like anybody. But of course, my mind is just gonna like I'm brainwashed, but like because I just see so much stuff about the Harry and is it Louis or Lewis? Louis. See, I don't know.
Think Louis. I
have no business talking.
You should
about
listen
it.
To my Larry episode, because I really don't think anything much. But
that was
there.
Right. But just because of all of the like the
lore. But what if it was? What if Larry was on Justin Bieber's phone? Oh my
Well,
gosh.
The world may never know.
Yeah.
So again, like we don't have any adults stepping in and we know why. Like they wouldn't, they couldn't, they didn't. So he's really going hard on the self-destruction. And this was also the year that Selena went to rehab, and the official story is she went to rehab due to her lupus. And we get that the first rumblings of her having lupus, and going to rehab, she went for like 2 weeks. And then of course, you know, her team is like, got to get her back out there. You know, she can't be away too long. People are going to start to notice she has brand deals. Like she'll just take care of it herself. Which to me kind of feels like, and again, that's the blind item side. To me, that feels like it was more than just the lupus. Mm-hmm. Like I am not here to challenge her lupus diagnosis. I think celebrities lie all the time about having Lyme's disease and Hashimoto's and things like that. But I don't think that Selena's
No, she lying. Definitely has it. She had to get a fucking kidney transplant, right? Like she does have it, but I also think there's some substance issues that and then exacerbate. They probably exacerbate each other. You know, lupus is a brutal autoimmune disorder and or disease. And like, I wouldn't be surprised if she turns to drugs to get relief because there's no effect. You know, I mean, you can get on steroids and I hope there's new treatments. I mean, I'm not an expert on it. We had a family friend who had lupus that I learned a little bit from them, but like, it sounds pretty brutal. It sounds like there's not a lot of effective treatments and there's nothing like pain that makes people turn to drugs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely think I agree with you that I think she was dealing with the lupus, but she was also dealing with substance abuse problems. But, Team Selena was like, oh, she was tired.
Yeah.
She just needed to rest. And everyone was like, okay, cool. Like glad she got some rest. And it has never made sense to me how her team is A, so good at I don't want to say covering for her, but like, yeah, covering for her. And then how easily we, the public, are like, oh, okay, awesome. That's exactly what happened. I mean, this is still going on. I do think she's really made a lot of positive changes since like 2019. But even in 2019, she was a disaster at the AMAs. Mm-hmm. And everyone was just like, she had a panic attack backstage, which she very well may have. But that doesn't make you drunk on the red carpet, almost falling over. That having a panic attack doesn't make you like blow your choreography on stage. And like, yeah, she had a panic attack and then they gave her something to calm her down, but it's like, let her go home. Like, she doesn't have any business being there. She obviously wasn't ready. It wasn't good for her. I hope we get some stories about those situations in the documentary she's putting out.
I think surely she's going to address it. You know, the mix of illness and substance abuse and mental illness. She's got a lot of blood, you know, and this is, I'm just saying, and we will come back to this again and again, this podcast. Anytime we talk about someone who got famous as a kid, child stardom ruins your life. You know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I know there's genetic factors with mental illness and with substance abuse problems, but like whatever is like key there, the lock gets turned. By the stardom. You right. know what I mean? I just, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is look at Britney Spears to know right. that.
So where are we at in the timeline?
So we are now in like mid 2014. So like around July. And mm-hmm. this is when we get Justin versus Orlando Bloom.
Now I'm like completely unfamiliar with all this. You like texted me. You were like, oh, we're going to do this next. And I was like, girl, what is that?
So around this time, there was like rumors of Selena and Orlando like hanging out. Like they were seen in a club in Las Vegas, like around, like, I don't know. I don't want to get my dates wrong, but this actually went on for quite a while. So maybe I'm having it out of order, but this first started in 2014, and Justin runs into Orlando Bloom in Spain, which, like, there must have been an event or something, because, like, how random. But I don't know. Celebrities probably all go to the same places, and I'm just not one, so I'm out of the loop. They were, I know some people say Ibiza and some people say Ibiza. So whichever one you say, that's where they were in Spain. And they were in a restaurant. And it depends. There's a couple different versions of this story. So one version of the story, and the one that gets the most like airplay, for lack of a better term, is Orlando took a swing at Justin and missed. And then they were like pulled apart very quickly by their entourages. And what happened is they were seated at different tables in the restaurant. Justin and his group of friends walked past Orlando's table, and Justin like stuck his hand out to like shake Orlando's hand. I'm guessing they already had some beef, you know, and maybe Justin was trying to just make nice, and Orlando refused to shake his hand. And
That's so weird, because Orlando's quite a bit older than these kids.
It just says, it says in this article, at the time, Orlando was 37 and Justin was 20. So yeah, quite a bit older.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't shake Justin's hand, and that made Justin mad. And Justin said something along the lines of, she was good. Like, he made some sort of comment about Orlando Bloom's ex-wife, Miranda Kerr, is what people think. And so Orlando took a swing at him and missed, which just like, that's kind of embarrassing. take a swing and miss. So there was like that little, there was a little scuffle. And Orlando Bloom and Selena Gomez were seen leaving a club together. Were seen leaving a Chelsea Handler show in Los Angeles in the April before this happened. So this happened in July, so the previous April. And there's a famous picture of them, of Selena and Orlando, like sitting. Well, Selena's sitting, like sitting on the curb. In Los Angeles. And like, I even had, and there's, and like Orlando has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Selena looks pretty, she looks like she's been having a good time. And there were all the way up, and this is what I got confused on earlier, all the way up into May, 2016, like Orlando and Selena had some kind of off and on thing.
Like, they did. That's so interesting, because I really didn't even know it, but they were all over each other in 2016. It looks like they spent some of their summer together. Like, that's very interesting. And I'm going to have to kind of do a double take on some of Selena's music and see if that's referencing him. But that's interesting. It's weird. And shame on Orlando being 39. And Selena's 23 and 22, like, during some of this time, like, that, I'm not into it, but that's very interesting that Orlando Bloom shows up into this.
Yeah. And there's some other, there are some rumors about Miranda Kerr and Justin Bieber hooking up back in after, did Justin perform at like a Victoria's Secret fashion show? He must have, right?
I think so.
And he was flirting with her. So there were these rumors. And then there were other rumors. There was a picture that Miranda, oh, I don't want to get this wrong, but Miranda posted a picture of herself like in a Santa costume. Like obviously like a Victoria's Secret angel version of a Santa costume. And was kind of like being coy about like, and people thought that Justin had taken the photo of her, and she like posted it and took it down. So there's like a whole thing. There's a thing with the four of them. And I don't know if, you know, Justin, Selena maybe pursued Orlando because Justin had been flirting very openly with Miranda at this
point. Or did Orlando come for Selena because Justin helped out with Miranda? That does seem petty and it does seem toxic, which, yeah, that's Jelena for you.
Yeah. And I mean, according to the blind items, you know, Orlando Bloom, like at least back then, very much likes to party, liked to do party drugs. I think that's a reason that he probably hit it off with Katy Perry in their earlier days before they like settled down and had a kid. Likes to party. And according to the rumors, you know, Selena and Justin like to party. So it makes sense that it would be easy for him to like, hey, let's go party together. You know? So that's 2014. And just a fun little nugget of gossip. But then by August 2014, it seemed like Justin and Selena were back together. And this is when he was, you know, getting into around the time that he was getting into a fight with Orlando Bloom over Selena. And then in September 2014, Justin has that legal deposition I talked about, and he confirmed to the court that they were dating again, which is just
Selena and Justin.
Yeah. Which is just so absurd to me.
Now, is that where he starts saying like, don't ask me about her. Don't talk to her. Don't talk about her to the lawyer that's asking about Selena.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. That's that clip. I'm going to insert that if I can pull it down. It's ridiculous. He's so extra about it.
Sir, have you ever talked with Selena Gomez and discussed your feelings about paparazzis with her?
Don't ask me about her again.
Sir,
move on to another.
And then that didn't last very long because just 1 month later, in October 2014, Selena's hinting at a breakup with a cryptic tweet that read, "We have to learn the hard way sometimes."
Oh,
then in November 2014, she releases
"The Heart What's One It Wants."
Yeah, take us through it.
Our first song notes. I mean, this is another one of those, you know, Jelena theses. The music video and like, you know, some of the versions of the song have this long audio speech of her, this long speech of hers at the top of it. I don't know if I can edit it in. I'm not sure that I have the rights to do that, but I'm gonna read it and I'm gonna put in her voice at the very end just so you guys can hear. She's like straight up crying in it. So at the top of this song in the music video, you hear Selena saying, "When I was on stage and I was thinking of, and I felt like I know him and I know his heart and I know what he wouldn't do to hurt me, but I didn't realize that I feeling so confident, feeling so great about myself, and then it'd just be completely shattered by one thing, by something so stupid. I was in pain.
But then you make me feel crazy. You make me feel like it's my fault. I was in pain."
I think this is it. This is when we finally get actual Selena Gomez actually talking about her actual problems in a song. I don't really think she opened up about anything before musically. This song is kind of devastating. "The Heart Wants What It Wants" is actually from an Emily Dickinson poem. So like, guys, like Emily Dickinson can be invoked in a straight way because Selena certainly has. The line in the Emily Dickinson poem says, "The heart wants what it wants, or else it does not care," which is like, damn. I wish Emily Dickinson were a fucking pop star right now. I mean, it'd be Taylor. That's, you know, basically it. But this song, I mean, you guys know the lyrics. You know, we can go through some of them, but it is a quintessential Jelena theme of like, we are stuck with each other. We're not even supposed to be together, but we almost don't have a choice. She also, it's interesting, you know, Selena brings up drugs and alcohol randomly, which a lot of people do. A lot of people compare drug to addiction. Taylor does that a lot. I don't think Taylor necessarily has a drug problem. She might drink too much, but that's another
topic for another episode. But you know, she starts it. Selena starts the song off with "You Got Me Sipping on Something." And it's like, of course, like, it's like a drink. It's like a drug to you. Right. And she, you know, I don't know. I mean, you guys know the song. Things are bad with Justin and Selena, but they're also good. You know, she, verse two, she says, "You got me scattered in pieces, shining like stars and screaming, lighting me up like Venus. But then you disappear and make me wait. And every second's like torture. Heroin drip. There's the more drugs. No more. So finding a way to let go. Baby, baby, no, I can't escape." I mean, it's ridiculous. It's awful. And she says it herself, "There's a million reasons why I should give you up, but the heart wants what it wants." And it's, I'm glad Selena finally like opened up on a track. And you know, she went there on it. She went there. And I think she needed to. I'm trying to see if there's anything, you know, she wrote on the song. So I, you know, she still doesn't write on all her music for the upcoming album, but like, whatever. She did write on this song. And I do think it's very personal for her. And she also, it's released on November 6, 2014. So I don't know if that date has any importance. I know they broke up in November in 2012. I'm not sure if it was that date, but they've also been back together and apart 5 times since then. So
yeah, I have something to add to that, the November 6th date. So it could be more significant, but that date was, she went on the air with Ryan Seacrest, and it was on Thursday, November 6th, and she debuted the song. So it could have had more to do with that was the day that they could schedule her to be on the show, or that she was available to do the show, and she debuted it and said that it was about Justin and that he was the first one to hear it. So it's like, okay, are they like back on? Like what, like, you know, he's the, this is her story, you know, and I'm reading this from an Us Weekly article. So Us Weekly is right up there with like People Magazine. It's like, they're not going to say anything that the people in the article don't want them to say. Right. Mm-hmm. So she's saying that the song's about him. She still supports him. She always will. He was the first one to hear it. He thought it was beautiful. It was hard. I think it was hard for him. He was a little jealous of the guy in the video at first. And she said, "Honestly, music is an expression. And if you will be that voice for these girls, here are some people that feel this. This is universal." So that's what Justin was saying to her about the song. So, you know, she also said that Taylor Swift loved it. "She's very dramatic and I love her so much," Gomez gushed about her BFF. "She came to the house. I played it for her. She had headphones in, watched the video, and then she just looked at me. Then she looked back and she played it 3 times. And I'm like, I want to know." And she was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing. I'm so excited for you."
Yeah, it is a good song. It is a good song. It's a sad song. You know, the thing is like Selena has some real stinkers. Like Selena has some tracks that did not deserve to be on albums of anybody's. But when she's good, she's pretty, like, you know, I don't think she's an incredible pop star. You know, when I think pop star, I think Britney Spears, Taylor Swift. We've already kind of given Selena these critiques. We like her as an actress better. But when she's good, she's good. When she's good, she is good. And this is a good song. And it's sad. God, if go watch the music video and listen to the audio. I'm going to try and plug in some of it, but that audio, her voice crying.
I've heard it, and it is very sad. So also in November 2014, we have our first appearance of Haley.
Okay.
So
here she is.
So Justin, and there's not a lot here, but Justin had been allegedly, you know, connected to a slew of models, you know, throughout 2014. And I want to say that was probably the, like, I don't know if you pronounce her name Barbara or Barbara Palvin, the model who now dates Dylan Sprouse, I believe is Dylan. Yeah. He was seen with her. There were pictures of them. But Justin is linked to Haley Baldwin as early as November 2014 after unfollowing Selena on Instagram. Mm-hmm. By December 2014, there's rumors that Justin had moved on from Selena to Haley. But he went on Instagram and shut the rumors down, writing, "People are crazy. I'm super single. And this is just my good friend. You would know otherwise." Uh-huh. Okay. Mm. Okay.
I think I know what his song Company is about now.
Okay.
That's our first Haley and Justin song, I bet. I mean, it could be about any fucking groupie or anyone, but
we'll. So, that took us through December 2014. But I also just want to say that, you know, by this time, their relationship is full on toxic. Like if it was getting a little sketchy before, it really is now. And again, they're even older and they're doing more self-medication. If you believe that part of the story, and I do, when you add drug use or substance abuse into anything, it just makes it worse and it shines a magnifying glass on problems that are already there. And their relationship is taking on this, like, almost like, I don't want to, I'm obviously not like a licensed like therapist or a psychiatrist or psychologist. Okay. Like, I'm just going to put that out there, but they seem a little codependent. And they also seem very like, Selena's almost like a very protective over Justin. Mm-hmm. There's almost this like motherly, and I don't mean this to sound weird, but like almost motherly, like older sister protective thing about her that she has for him, that complicates the dynamic. And I think that there's a lot of possessiveness, but also protectiveness going on at this time. So 2015, I wrote in my notes. So we kick off 2015 and it's just, things get confusing. And apparently 2015 is nicknamed the Lost Jelena years.
Oh my gosh.
Because most of 2015, it's unclear of the couple's interactions. Like, it's getting harder. Like, they're getting wiser, I guess. And then, so therefore it's getting harder for fans and the public to track their interactions.
They know better to be a little more private.
Yeah. And they both, starting in 2015, were publicly dating. Like, I'm not saying when 2015 started, but within that year, they're both publicly dating other people. So that's when we had Selena Gomez dating Zed, which, I mean, that was like snap your fingers and you missed it, but it happened. And then, you know, things get more serious again towards the end of the year.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, on the heart, what wants what it wants, she's kind of saying, I still want to be with him.
Yeah.
Even though she's saying I shouldn't be, I still want to be. So that, I'm not surprised they kind of go undercover and like maybe Selena, like, do you think she really dated Zed or do we think that was a couple photo ops?
Probably more photo ops, because
maybe a blend of both, like maybe silly.
I have a quote here from March 2015. So that's when Zed and Selena worked on a new single, I Want You to Know. And in an interview she did with Radio Disney, of all places, like if that doesn't scream manufactured, I don't know what does. Selena opened up about her newfound romance, saying, he's this cute little German. He's got really beautiful eyes and he's really sweet and funny. So I could totally believe that it was nothing more than a working relationship, with some marketing sprinkled on top to promote this single. And like, yeah, maybe they,
I mean, I'm sure they went to dinner. I'm sure they went out dancing one night, like whatever.
Sure. And maybe something happened, maybe not. Mm-hmm. I also, like, if I remember correctly, I feel like a lot of their public, and by they, I mean, Selena and Justin, a lot of their public behavior, like this example with Zed, like, was that just an attempt to make Justin jealous? Like, could she really have like laid it on thick knowing he would see it and hear about it? Maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it jumps. So this is why this is like the lost Jelena years. Timeline jumps from March 2015 all the way to November. So I don't know what was going on in those months. But in November 2015, we get the video of Justin serenading Selena in a hotel room. And the rumors pick back up that, you know, are they dating? Are they back on?
So, okay. So since we just hit November, do we want to backtrack 2 seconds to 2015 October, Revival comes out?
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. So the last thing that I said was March 2015. And then I was like, and then I don't have any time.
Well, if they were like, being private, that's right. To be expected. Right.
So we go March 2015. And then you said Revival comes out in October.
Well, okay. One last thing on The Heart Wants What It Wants. It was on an album Selena put out of her quote unquote greatest hits. And I just think that's fucking weird.
Greatest hits. What did she have?
It was on her fucking greatest hits album. It's how many like albums has she put out? I mean, at that point, she'd put out like a couple Selena Gomez in the scene and like, Stars Dance and like some Disney songs and a couple good songs on Stars Dance. And it like, to me, sometimes Selena does things that really just seem like money grabs. Like, just that's it. Like her fucking cooking show. I'm sorry. I started watching it last night as research for the pod. And it's fine and stuff, but I don't know, man. She didn't need a greatest hits album. Like she was like 23.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Or 22. Like, here's my greatest hits album. That was crazy. It was called something else, but like it was her compilation album of her quote unquote best songs.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. Okay. So everybody knows what I'm talking about. I'm looking at her record label, like history. So it's like Disney, Hollywood Records, which is Disney. It's just the like more grown up version of Disney. Cause you know, the Disney kids, they like when they're still fully on their shows, they're doing like covers of like, you know, The Lion King or like they do. And they have those little like songs that are in like movies like Camp Rock and they're performing stuff like that. But then they graduate to Hollywood Records, which is still very much a Disney thing. And then she jumps to Interscope. So I'm wondering, like, I want to know
the compilation the album was on Hollywood Records. And I That's wonder,
it had to be, it had to
I
be.
Wonder if she did that to fulfill her album requirement with them. So her next album could be she, off.
Absolutely.
That had to be that, right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I would bet money. What I think.
I bet good money that they said, well, you have to give us an album. And she had The Heart Wants What It Wants because that's what she's going through with Justin at the time. So that's sort of the only single because everything else everybody had already heard, but she throws that on there and she fulfills that Hollywood Records contract. I bet you anything. I don't know it for sure, but yeah.
Yes. And I'm diving deep here. And Revival was her first album on Interscope.
Right. And so leading into Revival, and let's talk about, so this is her first Disney free album. And of course she's naked on the cover. Right. And actually in 2022, she gave an interview and she said she felt ashamed of that.
She's not even like, now I'm going to look it up. If I remember correctly, she's just like sitting on the floor.
I mean, you can't see any, you know,
and her hair and her arms are covering
all her bits.
Her top. Okay, I'm just gonna look it up.
Yeah, look it up. But she said, "I did an album cover, and I was really ashamed that I did it. It was a choice that I wasn't necessarily happy that I made, but I think I've done my best. At least I've tried to be myself." And she said, "And myself is, I'm not an overly sexual person. Sometimes I like to feel sexy, but that doesn't mean it's for somebody else. It's for me." But I took control of the narrative of my life once I started becoming older, because growing up, I didn't really have a choice. And this is that Disney rebellion that we see. We got it from Miley. We got it from Demi. You know, we've get every single one of them, Vanessa Hudgens, you know, all of them, everybody gets into trouble and, you know, starts doing all this stuff and they all do it. And Selena, like, she didn't even want to do it, but she was trying to claim herself back from Disney.
Yeah. And if we also all want to remember, Miley, Demi, Selena, the Jonas Brothers, they were all very much in that purity culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Selena, you know, it's so hard because it's like you have these kids being, you know, oh, you're so pure, and they get sick of it. And they're young sexual beings, you know, once they get to their 20s, they want to express themselves and, you know, share that expression with the world. But then like they go too hard and now she regrets it. And I hate that. I hate that there's this naked album cover that she doesn't even like.
That imagine, she doesn't like. Right.
Imagine having an album cover that you're like, I don't feel good about that. That breaks my heart. So some other notes about the album that just stood out to me that are interesting to me. Hit Boy and Max Martin both produced on it. Of course, Max Martin, we all know and love here. He brought Taylor into pop and he created Britney, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. He mm-hmm. is the sound of the aughts and he's the best music producer in our lifetimes, I think. Big fan. Hit Boy, I really like. He did the, he's done a lot. He works in hip hop, but he did the, one of my favorite songs that he's done is the Flawless remix with Nicki Minaj on it. He is responsible for that sound, which I think it samples another song, but he just did a great job on that. I've always liked Hit Boy. So that's exciting for me. Selena's music is always a little less interesting than Justin's because she just is a little more removed from it. She's given lots of quotes on this album and always she's like sliding it to the side. She has this fucking horny as shit song, mm-hmm. Body Heat. And every quote she's given about the song is it uses like a Mexican, like the, you know, sound. But you know, there's sort of this Latin pop fusion, but like all she does is like, yeah, it's like my heritage is Mexican. I'm Mexican. I love the sound, like blah, blah, blah. This song is so horny and it is about like fucking, in my opinion. And she doesn't address that. She's just like, well, the sound, it's, you know, that culture. I really wanted to represent the sounds of that culture, which is great, of course. But like, girl, like talk about the, like, she spins everything.
Yeah. I mean, if she was ashamed, or at least felt like, or was pressured into saying she was ashamed of the album cover, she's not going to talk about. Yeah,
exactly. So that kind of shows Selena. Of course, we know now. We know she's not so sexual that she wants to be like plastering it everywhere. She said about Revival. She just said like the song is about what she's been going through for the past 2 years. So a lot of that has to do with Justin. Let's talk about Hands to Myself. I do think Hands to Myself is about Justin. I do think it's a bop. I think Taylor and Selena performed it together on the 1989 tour, right?
They performed it together on Reputation.
Oh, Reputation. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. But the verse, the doctors say you're no good, but people say what they want to say. And you should know if I could, I breathe you in every single day. And just Selena talks about breathing and breathing Justin and breathe me in, breathe me out. Kind of, that's like a thing she comes back to. It also has the quote, because all of the downs and the uppers keep making love to each other. And it's sort of like, yeah, there's that drug reference.
There's the drug. Yeah. And there's like they're addicted to each other.
They're addicted to each other. And then also like, hey, maybe we are on downers and uppers right now together. We're, you know, speedballing through the day. And we're, you know, I just think it's very much a Jelena themed song, even though it's sort of lighthearted. But
it's like one of those, songs, like I could say about the majority of Taylor Swift's Lover album. It's like, these aren't happy songs. This is a devastating album, but it's pink and pastel-y and boppy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're bopping about Cruel Summer. And I'm like, this is the saddest song.
I know,
but it's a bop.
Yeah.
And so it's got that kind of duality going on. It does. With the Hands to Myself.
It absolutely does. The music video is really good. That is, I think, our boy Alec.
Is that the one? And I know I could just look it up, but is that the one that's very like, it's got the subtitles and she's got the, like, it like starts with the,
she's breaking into somebody's house. Is that?
Yes, and yeah. She has the bangs and the short bob.
I have some notes on it, actually. Video. So in the music video, Selena is obsessed with an actor whose name is Christopher Mason. And the only thing, I mean, it's not just his face. Maybe he's kind of a ratty white guy with blonde hair. So yeah, it's reminiscent of Justin. She breaks into his house. She has a shrine for him. And then she breaks into his house and then she takes her clothes off. She's walking around half naked. She gets in his bed. It is highly suggested in the music video that she is masturbating. Wow.
I see these photos and I'm okay, if you were ashamed of the album cover.
No, I know. I can't imagine she's happy with this music video either these days. It is funny though. Okay. So, and then she gets naked in the bathtub and then she gets arrested. And part of the song, she's singing in handcuffs. And I thought that was some interesting visualization because she and Justin do feel trapped together. That's a little suggestive. It is a good one. I recommend people watch it. It's funny. But it's a lot of that. Oh, I'm trying to beat off this Disney image. She's running around naked. Yeah. She's writhing and touching herself in his bed while fantasizing about him fucking her. It's almost explicit. He comes home. He's like, who's this girl in my bathtub? The cops come arrest her. But then it zooms out and they are actually together watching the story, this fictional sort of story about Selena, getting arrested on TV, and they're a couple now. But she said about the music video, you get these images of what people think love is. It's theatrical, it's movie-like, and all of that you end up seeing ends up being a false reality on both ends. That's what I wanted it to feel like. And that might not, I think that might just be about the song, not even the music video. And obviously this is a Jelena situation. You think, and I keep going back to Justin renting out the Staples Center for a date night. And it's you think love is these sweeping grand gestures, but really love is the small things. Love is, can we get through this argument without screaming at each other? Love is a smaller day-to-day things. And I think I think Justin probably thinks it's grand sweeping romantic statements because, we grew up on Disney and he's stupid. And, I think Selena,
and he's got Scooter Braun advising him,
right?
There's no one more slimy. Ugh.
Same Old Love is the next song I think is important to talk about. Obviously this song is about Justin. So Charlie XCX is actually given quotes on it, and she wrote the song, and she handed the song over to her, and she said she had such a high profile relationship with Justin Bieber, which was all over the press. It felt very real coming from her. And I think a lot of the audience could really connect because of what had been going on. It was cool that she really brought that song to life. I see. And I love that. Charlie was this song is about Justin and Selena. But the song got passed around a bit, but coming from Selena, of course. So Charlie said also, I think at one point Rihanna was going to sing it or something, but then the direction of her record changed, so it wasn't right for her. Then Selena heard it and was into it, and she sang it, and it just suited her voice and her story so well. The song felt so emotional and real coming from her. I was really happy she cut it. It's very powerful. I think this is a good window. Selena's such a good window into songwriting, because she doesn't always write on all her songs, but this can show how, Selena heard it and said, oh, that's me and Justin. And then the song does become about him. Right. So,
yeah,
that's a good example of sort of a song that was written by a songwriter, gets passed off to an artist, and then the artist sort of makes it their own. And so that's interesting. But I mean, you guys know the lyrics. I'm so sick of that same old love. I'm not going to pick them apart because she didn't write them, but it is very much a Jelena song. So there you have Same Old Love. Sober. I mean, gosh, is Sober a stone cold bummer? And also, definitely, in my opinion, a Jelena song. So she didn't write on this, but Julia Michaels did. And Julia Michaels starts working with Selena on this album. We actually have a little crack theory that they might have had something more than just friendship between each other. Hard to know for sure. But they did kiss once on stage. So there's that.
And they had all those flirty social media posts.
Very up each other's asses. So who knows what that means? Maybe something in between. But Julia Michaels also worked with Justin on purpose. And I thought that was interesting. I was just like, of course, like, I kind of love that. I kind of love that these albums are in part so much about each other and they're like working with the same songwriters. So Sober, the chorus is, "You don't know how to love me when you're sober. When the bottle's done, you pull me closer and you're saying all the things that you're supposed to, but you don't know how to love me when you're sober." And I do think we've had the rumors and the stories and we'll get it to it in the timeline of Justin and Selena going out and buying drugs together and all of that. And again, I just think this paints such a clear picture. I know I should leave. I know I should, but your love's too good. Your love's too good. And I, you know, it's just, gosh, this is another Julina thesis.
It is. And I'm so happy to be going back through this because I forgot how much I like this album.
Mm-hmm. It is a good album. So Good For You. I don't know if it's about Justin or not. Selena did write on it. It could be about fucking anyone, but it could be. I want to think Good For You is about Cara Delevingne because, by the way, guys, whatever's going on with Jolena in the summer of 2015, I shouldn't have let this pass me by, but Cara and Selena get pictured like kissing on that yacht. And
that was the summer of 2015.
I believe so. And they're showering each other off and they're spending a whole lot of time together. And I actually, there's another song on this album that I'm like, this is so gay, but there's actually a few, but you know, this is when we get a little gay Lena action. I want Good For You. I mean, it's probably not, whatever. It could be about anyone, but I want it to be about Cara Delevingne. So, you know, I don't know. It could be about Justin, but it could be about anyone. There's no clues in it that I'm like, oh, this is Justin. So,
well, regardless, they were, I'm looking at the pictures right now. I mean, look, as a straight woman, this is not how we shower with our friends.
And that's why I say straight representation is so important because y'all need to know this is not what it is. Okay.
Like I'm looking at these pictures, like, yeah, straight women can be definitely close and touchy feely and like hug each other and like even do a little peck on the lips, you know, like for whatever, but like these are very intimate photos. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Camouflage, which in my opinion absolutely is a Jolena song. You know, some lyrics that stand out to me: dead end streets and boulevards, you threw in the towel, I broke your heart, but there's a first time for everything. Who would have thought you'd feel so cold, and all these moments seem so old, to think you were my everything. I got so much shit to say. Selena dropping the S word before Taylor even imagined doing it. But I can't help feeling like I'm camouflage, fortress around my heart. You were mine just yesterday. Now I have no idea who you are. It's like you camouflage. Selena did write on this song, and it's one of those, she said, that was the only ballum on the entire album. I wanted to do that on purpose because it was me pouring my heart out into something. It's very honest and real. Anytime Justin or Selena say this song's really personal, it means it's about the other one. Anytime, right. Anyone, I put my heart into this. I put my heart and soul into this. This song is the most personal song on the album. Yeah. Okay. We get it. It's about Justin. It's about Selena. That is something I've noticed with their quotes about their music. So, you know, another talk, this is toxic and ruining my life, but it's my relationship, with Camouflage. Let's see. Survivors, I'm not going to get into it. It's not that interesting of a song. I kind of think it's about Justin, but in quotes, she does that thing where she's trying to say like, oh, this is about all of us. We just got to survive. We got to get through the day and survive. Me and, you know, come on, we're all going to survive. I think it's a song about Justin, but in the quotes, she kind of skirts that. Body Heat, right. Already talked about what a horny song it is, and she's just like, and I'm just showing off my Mexican culture, and it's kind of like, okay, of course she's not going to comment about how horny it is. Me and My Girls is the 22 of the album, but you know, it's kind of gay because it's like, I came with my girls, I'm leaving with my girls. This has nothing to do with Justin. I think it's a fun, cute song. It's on the bonus album. But her friends actually sang in the she brought all her friends in the studio to like shout in the bathroom and in the background and laugh and, you know, all of that, which, you know, I think is very cute. And I think this whole vibe is very 22 inspired by Taylor. It's very much like, ah, we're going out tonight. It's just me and my girls. I don't need anyone else. But by the way, that's kind of gay. Like, I'm going home with my girl. Like, okay, what are you guys going to do there? You and Julia Michaels, you and Cara Delevingne, what are y'all going to get up to? Get matching tattoos? Yeah.
Everybody knows that if you're super, super close gal pals with Cara Delevingne, then like you're probably hooking up.
I should hope
it's so. It's just the way. She's like the North Star.
Sending out thoughts and positive manifestations for Cara Del, like right now though, because she's fighting for her life.
Yeah, she was actually spotted, I want to say, is it Paris Fashion Week?
She was seen recently.
Hospital? Well, she was seen very recently. Like this has been like this week. Oh my and gosh. She looked like she was at an event. She looked good. She was put together, hair, makeup, okay. You know, she wasn't acting erratically.
That's good.
So it's good. Positive manifestations. Good. I don't know, you know, this is just a one sighting, but she was very lucid from what you can see. So that's good.
Yeah. Let's talk about the best fucking song on the album. Perfect. My notes that I have for Perfect, the header of the notes is in all caps. Gay? ? Justin? ? So Perfect is Selena's Jolene, Selena's girl crush, if you will. We have we talked about this at length in our Gay Lena episode that we did about a year ago. And of course here's the thing. She said, so, you know, in Perfect, the lyrics are sort of like, I can taste her lipstick. You know, you're with her now. This is a new girl. The chorus says, I can taste her lipstick and see her laying across your chest. I can feel the distance every time you remember her fingertips. Maybe I should be more like her. I can take her. I can taste her lipstick. It's like I'm kissing her too. Great song. Mildly gay. And it's, you know, it's very much the triangulation of desire kind of deal where Selena's singing about this woman that I assume Justin is going to be with. I go ahead and give it to Justin because she said that was a very, very personal song and it was extremely accurate. I remember feeling all those emotions and thinking to myself, I don't know if I could put this on a record. In a way, it's a little sad. It's beautiful too. So, you know, and she said she was nervous to put it on the record, which does make me think it's kind of gay, but yeah, go ahead.
I want to know who she is.
I mean, is it Haley?
Oh, you know what? I literally just today saw a TikTok video that was talking about how Haley was like the original like Jelena stan, mm-hmm, and they like screenshotted all of these things, like pictures of her holding up magazines with them. Like this was obviously way back in the day, like, but tweets saying that she was, you know, she loved Jelena, number one fan, all these things. And it was like, so at the end they were like, so wait, was Haley just in love with Selena the whole time? I was like, oh,
what if this song's about Haley and Selena's like, I can taste her lipstick. Like, and even though this song is about the Jelena, you know, the Jelena of it all, it's still sort of a queer coded song, but, the fact that Selena sort of thinks about Justin's new girl in this way, like it's interesting, but, with her saying that's a very, very personal song, it's about Justin, in my opinion. And whoever the new girl is, Haley, maybe. That would be interesting.
I mean, the timelines fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because if this album came out in October 2015, Haley enters the chat as early as November 2014.
Yeah. So it really could be.
Really could be.
Yeah. And in fact, I would almost guess that it is. So that there's two other songs, Cologne and Out of My Hands. They both are giving Jelena. I don't have anything special to say about those songs though, but go listen. They're giving Jelena to me. They're bonus tracks. And Selena had like 17 different versions of this album. There was the Target exclusive, that. And then there was the German Target. I don't know. Like there was an international one that had different tracks. So, you know, that's another money grab move in my opinion, yep. But whatever.
I was just looking at this. Cause like when we went through the original tracks and then you're like, and then the song Me and My Girls, I was like, mm-hmm. Wait, I don't see that. I was like, oh, I need to scroll. I need to keep scrolling. Right. And it goes like, yeah, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different versions of this album. And they go from 40 minutes in length to 70 minutes in length.
Yeah. It's just like, girl. Okay. So Purpose comes out like a month later in November. And of course that is Justin's album. And we get a lot about Jelena on the album. He went on Ellen and actually said, the three songs, Mark My Words, Sorry, and What Do You Mean, all had to do with Selena. So Mark My Words, there's not a lot in the song, but you can check it out. It is confirmed by him to be about her. What Do You Mean? The great song. One of the songs of the year, like, you know, it was just all over the place, right? This song to me, this highlights the Jelena problem that we started talking about last week, which is sort of like, remember that song where Justin's like, when I'm screaming, you need to calm the situation down. You need to fix it. You need to fix me.
Right.
When I'm yelling at you. This just tells me like Selena, I'm guessing, has always tried to frame her words in a way that makes Justin happy. So he had all these demands of her, like, you have to fix the argument. When I'm mad at you, you need to fix it. So, of course, Selena starts like, you know, you choose your words carefully. You walk on eggshells a little bit. You say what you think he wants to hear. Because as the man in the relationship, you know, he had that upper hand of like, she's sitting there just trying to make him happy because he set that standard of, well, I can be a little shithole that's yelling, you have to fix it. And then Justin comes back. And what he said about the song was, he said, girls are often flip-floppy. They say something, then they mean something else. What do you mean? I don't really know. That's why I'm asking. And I think he's like kind of trying to be lighthearted and funny, but like the toxicity of that, of like girls are like this. First of all, that's misogynistic. Like I personally find women to be more effective communicators than men, but whatever. That's just me. But like, you just know Selena's been like curbing herself. Like she's been choosing her words carefully and editing herself to keep Justin happy. So of course she says what she thinks is going to make him happy, but she doesn't really mean it. And then he gets confused. But in my opinion, my take from all this is that like, they don't communicate well, because when Selena tells the truth, he freaks out. That's just my take.
Well, yeah. Like so many young 20 something guys do, and like hashtag not all, but I've never met one who didn't. Mm-hmm. They like can't handle, when you talk about being a more effective communicator, or that to me leads into managing emotion, like managing your emotions. And like, I think I am not making this up. Like other people have said this, but like the greatest scam of all time was that women are more emotional than men.
Right. Like women will start crying when they get upset. Men will start being violent. Who's more emotional? Men will kill you. Women will like
men
talk shit about you on Twitter. Men will kill you. Like
men can't even handle like a scrimlet of like constructive criticism, but women be like, okay, all right, I hear you. Now, again, that's not, I'm making general like and sweeping generalizations at that. So like, I don't want anybody to get upset. Like I know what, listen, I'm saying.
Not all men.
Very sweeping. Not all men. And not all women. I've met some crazy girls.
I mean, people in general can suck, but you know, not all men, but far too many. Right. Like,
right. So, yeah. So I've never really thought very deeply about that particular song, What Do You Mean? I mean, I know the lyrics, like those were my, Sorry and What Do You Mean were my favorite songs to like hear out at like a bar or a club. Like they're just,
I want to start singing them now.
So fun.
Yeah.
So like I know the words and I love them. But I've never really made any deep thoughts or connections, but you're right. Like we discussed last time of Justin being like, it's your job to calm me down and, you know, be my rock. And when I need you, but then it's like, okay, so she's like doing that and you can feel the vibes when they're like, she's saying one thing, but it doesn't feel like, so it's like, yeah, I get where that, that could cause a confusion. But like, if you start to peel back the layers, it's like, well, why is she doing that? Well, because when she's honest, you can't handle it. And you tell her she's not being supportive, mm-hmm. you know, that she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. So interesting, very interesting.
Indeed. So the other fun note about this song is like Justin got really like Taylor and Swifties about it. He like DM'd his best believers, lyrics. Like he would just DM them like and pieced it together. And there was like a big like promotional, like a bunch of celebs joined in and like promoting the song, playing clips of it. And so it was a big moment for him. And there was just a lot of anticipation around the song. So the next song, of course, we have to talk about is Sorry. Now, in Justin's words, he said it's a little bit about Selena, but then also like a general apology for the past year or so with his arrest, with, you know, the egging of the house, with the monkey, everything you just laid out. I was laughing as you were just right. laying it all out. His beefing with Orlando Bloom, just everything for the past year or two. He kind of comes out and says sorry for those things. But of course, it's kind of funny, like what he said about the song is he said it's kind of the stamp in the end of all the apologies that I'm giving, like to the people and to the media, putting a song out there saying sorry is the icing on the cake. And I'm just ready to move on. So it's funny that Justin's sort of like, my bad deeds are inconvenient to me now. So I am going to write the song and then we're not going to talk about it anymore. And that is just like, you know, you can say sorry all you want, but sometimes it's not enough. And, you know, it's just,
well, a real apology necessitates remorse and, right. and redemption. But like, do you really feel that bad? Right. Maybe. It's maybe not.
It's hard to know. I kind of doubt that he felt all that bad about any of it, but that's just me. Let's talk about Love Yourself. This is the one. This is the one that I worry about. I don't want this song to be about Selena. Now, let me say the thing that makes me think it is about her and the thing that doesn't. So the thing that makes me think it is about her is that Selena goes on to write several years down the road, Lose You to Love Me, where mm-hmm. she said, yeah, I do love myself, but I had to get rid of you for that. That feels like it could be a response. However, Ed Sheeran wrote the first draft of this song. He said that it was a song he written for Divide and he didn't think it was going to make it. And then Justin took it and did his thing on it and released it as a single and made it what it is. So going from a song that would have never been released and then it was the biggest song of the year. You know, so is this about something Ed went through?
Potentially. Mm-hmm. But just like we said with some of Selena's earlier songs right. on Revival, it's like, okay, well, I didn't write this, but I'm connecting to this super, super hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you tweak a lyric here and there to make it much more personal. Right. It could be the same thing. What makes me think that this song is about Selena, and I don't think it's not about Selena.
Let me hear. Yeah, tell me.
At all. What makes me think it's about her is one, just it's very on brand for, like, in my opinion, that Justin would think these things
yes.
about her, that he is just like, you know, when you are just, I don't even know how, like, you're just missing the point, like, and you're oblivious to like what's actually happening. And like, this is what you really think, like that she, and I know a lot of the Justin diehard fans, they do see Selena as like a hanger-on, that she used his fame to keep her own boosted. And then I am like, yeah, but she was best friends with Taylor Swift. So maybe. Okay, sure.
Selena gets into clubs using her own name. She is still Selena Gomez. I feel like Ed had to have written that line.
But the thing that really makes me think that it's about her, or even if Ed wrote it and Justin was like, ooh, I like that, because that is how I feel about Selena. This is the line, my mama don't like you and she likes everyone. And I'm pretty sure it's like well known that Justin's mom does not like Selena.
Is that true? Is that tea?
I think so. I know it is tea. Maybe it's just canon. Let's look it up.
Yeah. Is that just canon because of the song? Right. What came first? Was there whispers about Selena's mom not, or Justin's mom not liking Selena? Or did the song come out and then like the whispers started because of the song? When it's possible, that's not one of the lines Justin wrote. He did write on the song. He took the song and rewrote some of it. So it could, you know, any of this could be about Selena or not. That's kind of the thing. What's weird to me is, like, I have trouble believing anybody doesn't like Selena, including Justin's mom.
Well, okay, but let's remember who Justin's mom is.
Right.
I personally believe that she wouldn't like anybody that wasn't as religious as someone like Haley, because that's how she is. I mean, this is actually fact. She said when Justin was picked up to be managed by Scooter Braun, she literally said, well, I'd prefer if we had a nice Christian manager, but he'll do, because Scooter Braun is Jewish.
Right.
So like, this is Patty. This is his mom. Right. So,
well, Selena was raised Catholic, right? It's like a lot of evangelicals don't see Catholics as Christians.
No, they don't. And I mean, I would guess that with her Mexican heritage, yeah, she probably is Catholic.
I think she raised that way.
But yeah. So yeah, I mean, Justin's mom, I would imagine, could not like somebody just based on that. Let's see.
She is Catholic, and that would be enough. Evangelicals sometimes see Catholics as not Christian, like, because they say Catholics like worship the Virgin Mary or the Pope. Like, they say it's, you know, you're not supposed to have any other idols, right? Or gods. And they say Catholics do that. It's, I don't know what they're all doing. I don't have any comment on any of that, you know, but
she really likes Haley. I am finding that she like really, really likes Haley. And I don't recall this kind of like living their best lives, like having a girls just want to have fun, like party and Instagram posts. I don't remember any of that with Selena.
I think it's possible his mom doesn't like her. I'm just interested on, you know, what do we have anything other than the song to back that up?
I'm looking. Hold on. Wait. So, okay. Now. All right. Okay. This just confirms it for me.
Okay. What do you got?
This is ridiculous. In December of 2017, okay, Justin Bieber's mom, Patty, spoke to People magazine about her son's relationship with Selena Gomez. Patty said she doesn't know much about their relationship, but she loves the Wolves singer. I've met her. We had a bond. She's precious. You don't know much about their relationship?
That is really weird.
That is some passy aggressy statement. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm with you. I do. That is a weird
thing. And then the rest of it's
say.
Like, it is. And then it's like, oh, I've met her. She's precious. Like, that to me sounds
almost condescending.
It does. And maybe that's just because I'm reading it.
She's
that
a fucking
way.
Global superstar. Like,
but also your son has literally been in a relationship with her for 7 years at this point. And
crazy.
You don't really know much about their relationship. Get out of here.
I feel like that, along with the fact that Selena goes on to write Lose You to Love Me,
I think we have to take it for Jelena. And I'm not saying there isn't some girl that Ed is singing about when he writes it, or like some other, like, but can I just say the song is fucking misogynistic? I mean, I don't think men should get to write songs about women. I feel like cis-het men should not. Because he said, you know, this whole idea of like, because if you like the way you look that much, oh baby, you should go and love yourself. Like, men spend all our lives telling us the only thing that matters about is how you look. The only thing that matters about you is how fuckable you are to me. Do you make my pee-pee feel good? That's all I care about with you, woman. Look good, be thin, have makeup on, have your hair done, have your outfit put together, or you don't deserve to be a citizen. Like, that is the misogynistic environment in which, you know, many, not all, but many men operate. And I just can't stand that Justin is like, Selena has been told her whole life, or any girl he's singing to, Haley, any girl, any other model he hooked up with, any girl that Ed Sheeran or Selena is talking to, some beautiful model or some girl or some pop star or some anything, have been told their whole life, the thing that matters most is your looks. And they obsess over it because the second that they don't, you get fucking paps, you know, they get caught by the paps and, you know, their lives come crumbling down. I was reading like Chloe Grace Moretz, which is that great little actress that she was on 30.
Oh yeah, I love her.
She had a funny picture be taken of her, like her outfit, her pants were looked kind of weird. And like her body it was just not the best angle. And people started comparing it to this meme of Family Guy, and she had a mental breakdown over it. Like, yeah, and it's just not all people talk about to women is like, how do you look? You're not thin enough. You're not. And it's just, and then finally, like, okay, so these girls, Selena Gomez, you know, I promise you she's obsessed with how she looks. I promise you she's obsessed with her body and how it looks. And then Justin said, oh, you like the way you look too much. Like, if you think you're that hot, you can go fuck yourself. Like,
and that's why, like, those are the lines in the song that make me think, like, whether he wrote it or Ed wrote it, that he's like, oh yeah, I like that. I vibe with right. that. That's
he identified with
that is how I think. Right. And that is how, that is very much my lens, which I don't know if he could even articulate that, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's very much the lens through which I view Selena. Give me that song.
How dare a cishet man ever criticize a woman for caring about her looks when he spent the rest of his life saying, if you're not hot, you're not a person to me. How dare?
Yeah, and I mean, how dare? I know, how dare him. And then we also, like, you know, the rumors are recently, like, within I want to say this has been like the past year or 2 years, the rumors are that Justin is losing his hair because that happens to a lot of men. Mm-hmm. And it happens to a lot of men. What, how old is he? Like 26 ish, 27
20s now on the, on okay, the yeah. high side of 25.
Yeah. I mean, and some men will even, you know, start to their hairline will start to recede as early as like 22, 23, which, you know, I understand that is hard for anybody, to lose their hair. 'Cause like human beings have hair. And when you're a human being that doesn't have hair, you may feel other, but you know, karma's a bitch. So
yeah, Justin's been looking grungy and nasty ever since like 2015. He had that mustache, he grew his hair out, he's got tattoos everywhere. He should never speak about a woman's looks ever.
I agree with you, but I also think a lot of that business had to do, that was a way for him to like rebel against the people who had been controlling him. But no, I don't disagree with you. I even like in my, like, I mean, I'm like, again, I'm not, you know, not 60 years old, everybody, but like, I am older, and I even notice like, where my hair is like, it's thinner than it used to be. It's not as, same. You know, luscious and voluminous. And it's just kind of like, it sucks, but it's just a natural part of aging. It happens to everybody. It sometimes happens to people earlier on than they would like. But you know, also, be kind and, put out in the world what you want to give back, because being hateful really does not help you age well. I can promise you that.
Exactly. Anyway, long story short, men shouldn't get to write songs about women unless they're nice. And whether the song is about Selena or not, maybe that's up for the, you know, the pop music gods to know. But I think you can make a very good case that it is. And that pisses me off because, like, how is he going to put Sorry and then Love Yourself right after it? But it just shows the highs and the lows. He has a song called Roller Coaster on his last album that we talked about last week that is very much, you know, they're up and down. So Company, I think, could be about Hailey Bieber or someone. It's about a casual hookup. So I'm not giving that to Selena. The song No Pressure, I do think is about Selena. Let me see if I have anything interesting to say about it. So in the song No Pressure, he's basically telling Selena that we're going to take it slow. I'm going to give you some time to clear your mind. You know, I made mistakes in the past, but I'm going to let you get over those. And he talks about the pressure of the public eye and, you know, just all the pressure they've been under together. And Big Sean's on the song, which I love. I like to think Big Sean's singing about Naya Rivera. I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Underrated celebrity relationship right there, in my opinion. But, you know, it is giving Jelena. I just don't think at this point Justin has any other ex that's like serious enough for him to like have such a sort of genuine, you know, croony acoustic guitar vibed song. I think the song No Sense is about Selena. Just read the lyrics. It's a Jelena song. Like, I don't have anything interesting to say about it, but No Sense for me goes for Selena. Life is Worth Living, I think it kind of comments on Selena in some of the verses a little bit, but it's also just a bunch of religious stuff. This is one of the two religious songs on this album, in my opinion. And he's like, you know, it just says it's sort of giving Christian worship, standing up worship singing song, I guess.
Like hands in the air.
Yeah,
like,
it just gives that. Yeah. I don't know. Where Are You Now? So that actually wasn't like for this album. It was officially a Jack U song, which I didn't know until I did this research, but Jack U is the name of Skrillex and Diplo, like working together.
Which I feel like it feels problematic.
Do you think? You just feel like there's some things are being slipped into drinks and.
Yeah. Like Diplo. I mean, I don't really know about Skrillex, so like, don't come for me. But Diplo has quite the blind item catalog of just being gross.
I buy it. I believe it. I believe it about any, you know, powerful man in Hollywood.
Right.
One thing that's interesting, Diplo did give like an interview where they were in Vegas. Justin had just turned 21. Diplo put up, you know, played the song for the show he was playing. And Justin said, "Yo, man, I want to thank you because this is the first time I've ever had adults clap for me. This is like a big deal." So this might have been part, you know, Justin, of course, is trying to escape the teeny bopper image in this time, you know, freshly 21 and still struggling with that, if that story Diplo told is true.
And I believe it. I believe it's true because I can attest to being probably whatever. Live your life. I was out and about and, you know, very much very grown up. And these songs were playing, everybody liked them. And this is something else that Troy McKeady says in his deep dive of them is that this album was when the straight men started respecting Justin Bieber. So, you know, once that happens, you're like a serious artist now. Once the straight men accept you and stop making fun of you, then you've made it. You've turned a corner. So with Justin to say like, "Hey, adults are clapping for me now," I do believe that to be true because this album. I mean, I think this is his best work, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. This is his best album. I agree.
Yeah, and I don't believe that about the straight men thing. I mean, it was a joke, right. But it was pretty much like. Yeah, like
would just stop being something girls were into and start being something everybody was into.
Right. And yeah. Yeah.
The next song, this album is really, really long. I'm gonna skip over some stuff, but Get Used to It is the song I think could be about Haley. It is like a happy song. And it's like, girl, get used to me taking care of you and checking up on you. And it seems like about a new connection. It could be about any girl he was like hanging out with for a week. Who knows? You know, Justin is very romantic and like, oh no, I'm going to take such good care of you, babe. Like he likes to, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. You know,
no, that's ironic. If that is about Haley, because when we do deep dive into the two of them on this timeline, that's what she takes right. care of him.
Right.
Obviously.
100%. So, there's two more songs. I think We Are and Trust are both probably about Selena.
Oh my God. He had Nas featured on a song.
Yeah, it's a crazy album. It's so long. It's almost too long. Like, but he has a song called We Are and a song called Trust. I kind of do think both of those songs might be about Selena. Trust could be about like a connection with a new girl. I'm not sure, but it's giving Jelena is what I'll say about those two songs. I don't have anything that stands out specific about, you know, anything we really need to point out. I feel like the things I get excited about are drug references. And then just like extreme references to like toxicity and like Justin's like misogyny and Selena, like, you know, all her pain, like that's the story for me. So nothing jumped out.
Yeah,
at me.
I'm with you. I'm going to hell on a grease pole anyway. So, yeah. You know, like I'll just be excited about it. I can admit it. I'm not above it.
Right.
Everyone.
Same here. I mean, you know, I just want to know the tea. I love pop music. I love famous relationships. You put them all together. That's what this podcast is all about. Anyway, I think that's all I've got for now. Any closing notes to go out on?
The only closing note on the timeline that I have is November 2015. So like when this album came out and then, you know, whatever the Selena Zed thing was had been long fizzled out. Selena was spotted out. Well, Selena and Justin were spotted out together. And I think everybody will remember this because I do. People were videoing them, posting it to social media, Justin singing The Temptations, My Girl to Selena. Yeah. And despite this weekend hangout, they did show up separately to the AMA. So it wasn't anything official, but they we're hanging out and he's singing My Girl to her. So cute, but that is it until we pick back up in 2016.
Yeah. That is the Jelena story, isn't it? It's a fucking roller coaster. I can't believe they both survived it. Honestly. I mean, you know, jury's still out. We don't know what's going to happen in the future, but well, Imps, I mean, 1,000 thank yous as always for coming on. You are the best at this. You've been getting compliments on the blog. I want to make sure you know about them. I'm so grateful for you joining me and you know, doing these episodes with me. I think we're going to have a lot more episodes to do on all sorts of different topics. So thank you. With all that said, please stay safe in 2022. Please get registered to vote. Go to iwillvote.com. iwillvote.com and get registered to vote. And gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss, and
live, laugh, lark.
Immediately, right now. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Go sign up for the Patreon. You deserve it. Okay, bye.